Dawn's shift has disappeared. Her cubicle neighbor, Natalie, becomes concerned after receiving a disturbing "help me" phone call from Dawn's line at exactly 9:17 a.m., a time when Dawn would normally be organizing her daily files, a routine she hadn't missed in 7 years at Vixt, a growing vitamin supplement company. When Natalie reports this to their boss, Seth, he dismisses her concerns with unusual casualness, suggesting Dawn will show up for their scheduled afternoon meeting. The tension escalates when Natalie discovers a small ceramic turtle figurine with what appears to be dried blood on her desk. Dawn's meticulous nature makes her absence particularly alarming. She's never been late and follows schedules with almost obsessive precision. When Dawn fails to appear for her meeting with Seth, Natalie checks Dawn's home, finding disturbing signs of a struggle: an uncorked bottle of Merlot, a shattered wine glass, overturned furniture, and something dark and viscous on the beige carpet. What begins as concern for a missing coworker quickly transforms into a complex mystery. Dawn's recent behavior suggests she'd uncovered something significant: working late, taking encrypted notes, making frequent calls from the office stairwell. Did something terrible happen to Dawn? And if so, who might be responsible? Perhaps someone within Vixt itself? Through emails with her friend Mia, we see Dawn's struggles at Vixt. Self-described as naturally shy, like the turtles I love, Dawn faces constant dismissal from her supervisor, Seth, who seems irritated by her meticulousness. Dawn becomes fixated on her cubicle neighbor, Natalie, cataloging everything from her perfectly highlighted hair to her effortless way of commanding attention in meetings. This admiration intensifies as Dawn watches Natalie's routines reflected in her computer screen. Her attempts to connect grow increasingly desperate, redecorating her cubicle to match Natalie's style, forcing herself to eat trendy foods, and interrupting meetings with turtle facts. Dawn creates spreadsheets of Natalie's schedule, repeatedly uses Natalie's name in conversations, and attempts unwanted physical contact that results in Natalie publicly telling her to never fucking touch me again. The situation culminates when Dawn finds her desk vandalized, her plants toppled, glass turtle figurines smashed, and stuffed turtle cut open with ketchup arranged like blood. Seth dismisses her concerns, and Dawn's accusation about Seth's relationship with Natalie only isolates her further. Detective Santaro uncovers troubling inconsistencies in Natalie's story. Phone records show calls to Dawn came from their office building, contradicting Natalie's claims. Her fingerprints appear on items in Dawn's kitchen she denies touching. Most damning, Dawn emailed HR before disappearing about a hostile work environment and threatening behavior. The case intensifies when Dawn's body is found in nearby woods, beaten, her red glasses shattered nearby. A hashtag VixtBullies campaign emerges, with former employees sharing stories of Dawn being bullied, many specifically naming Natalie. The evidence becomes overwhelming when Natalie discovers a blood-covered ceramic turtle from Dawn's collection in her laundry hamper. Investigators uncover Dawn's emails documenting Natalie's bullying, security footage places Natalie's car near Dawn's apartment, forensics find Dawn's DNA in Natalie's trunk, and her boyfriend Caleb withdraws his alibi. Despite claiming innocence, Natalie is arrested during a charitable 5K race she organized, ironically dedicated to workplace violence awareness. In a stunning twist, Dawn is actually alive, hiding in a motel with Caleb. They discuss the unidentified body police believe is Dawn's, knowing DNA testing will eventually expose the truth. Dawn shows Caleb a letter explaining how they avenged Mia's death. The truth emerges. Amelia Mia Hodge was Dawn's childhood best friend. Both were outcasts, Dawn for being weird and Mia for having cerebral palsy. In high school, Natalie and her friends tormented Mia, culminating in a cruel Valentine's Day prank involving Mia's crush. 2 days later, Mia took her own life. Years later, Dawn partnered with Mia's brother Caleb to orchestrate revenge. Caleb dated Natalie while Dawn planted evidence framing her for murder, fake emails, the bloody ceramic turtle, and staging Dawn's house to suggest a struggle. With Natalie arrested and facing life imprisonment, Don believes they need a real corpse to ensure conviction. Despite Caleb's love for her, Don prepares to sacrifice herself by drowning with a cinder block tied to her ankle. After being bailed out, Natalie discovers Caleb and Don met in a grief support group for those who lost siblings to suicide. Caleb admits to the revenge plot, but warns that Don has gone rogue, planning suicide to frame Natalie. Despite years of vengeance, Caleb's distress seems genuine. Natalie acknowledges her debt to both, Caleb for keeping her from jail, and Don for her role in Amelia's death. At Wollaston Beach, Natalie finds Don standing on an aging pier with a cinder block tied to her ankle. Natalie reveals how she's honored Amelia's memory through counseling troubled teens and funding suicide prevention. She explains how Amelia's memory guides her major life decisions. Don begins to waver, especially when Natalie shares intimate details about Caleb, his nightmares, his sister's drawings, his devotion to Don. The breakthrough seems genuine, until Natalie's phone reveals the body is Tara Wilkes, who had bullied Mia years ago. Don's expression shows not shock, but satisfaction. Natalie realizes Don had expanded her revenge beyond her, eliminating another player in Amelia's tragedy. 1 year later, Don and Natalie share an alliance built on secrets and self-preservation. Don has completed her first 5K, accepted Caleb's proposal, and now co-organizes the charity race with Natalie, complete with Mia's memorial poster and tribute t-shirts. Natalie views their engagement cynically while managing her relationship with Seth, whose divorce she orchestrated through anonymous threats. The charity race has raised $50,000, though Natalie still skims 15% through creative accounting. Their arrangement exists in unspoken terms. Natalie justifies her embezzlement as compensation for taking blame in Amelia's suicide. Their pact maintains perfect balance. Natalie guards the truth about Tara's murder, while Don overlooks the missing funds. Each holds enough information to destroy the other. Watching Don with race participants, Natalie recognizes they're both predators behind different masks. Don as a community pillar, herself as a skilled manipulator. They've become each other's insurance policies, ensuring their secrets remain buried through their careful dance of deception. This psychological thriller exposes our professional personas through Don's exhausting performance researching friendship techniques, copying Natalie's desk arrangements, and rehearsing interactions to appear normal at work. Natalie, the office's golden girl, has perfected workplace deception. Her carefully cultivated image of organizing charity drives, remembering birthdays, and exceeding sales targets conceals her systematic embezzlement. Designer outfits and strategic empathy mask a calculated predator who views colleagues merely as pawns. The novel challenges us to question how well we know our coworkers. What secrets might the person in the next cubicle harbor? How easily might anyone justify terrible actions when convinced of their righteousness? Professional environments become perfect breeding grounds for revenge fantasies, where perceived slights justify devastating responses. The final image of Don and Natalie, dangerous women bound by mutual secrets and manipulation, reminds us that sometimes the most threatening people sit right beside us, smiling while planning their next move.